In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, they hear the lamentation of your women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your Cub Scout reporters.
Always taking little grannies across the street to give them their new comics.
Yes, indeed, Chris. Chris, hey. Pal, how you been this week?
I'm great, great.
Did you have a good weekend?
It was okay. It was all right.
Good. Did you get any comic stuff done?
Comic stuff.
Yeah, anything comic-y on your weekend?
Not a whole lot. You know,
other than your amorous attempts with your wife. Yuck!
Not really. You know, I went to the comic shop. I guess I came to the comic shop last week, so yeah. I got all my books then, and
right.
You know, I didn't really do a whole lot of comic stuff.
We're watching you, Owen.
I'm just saying. You know, I went to a wedding on the weekend.
Right. Okay.
You know,
right.
So you know, unfortunately, there wasn't a whole lot of comic booking going on.
Yeah.
How about you? Did you get any comic book stuff done?
You know what? Very little.
Yeah.
It was like a non-comic book weekend. I'm gonna have to change that. I like comic book weekends.
Yeah.
I like my weekends to involve comic books.
As I do too.
Right.
Now when you. When you like them to involve comic books, now is this more buying and selling, or actually reading, or do you have a preference?
You know what? I should read more comics.
Everyone should.
That's probably every listener
yes,
probably
absolutely.
Agree with listening to the show. But I don't know. I just like you know. I did the only comic stuff I got was the Saturday paper comics.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
And that's not enough.
Yeah, no,
I
really
like
is.
Popping into the shop on the weekend,
yep.
too. Not necessarily to do work, because I like the
just
comic
hang
atmosphere
out.
And
yep,
stuff
yep,
like that.
Sure.
And I couldn't do that this weekend because I was away. So,
where
yeah.
were you this weekend?
Oh, comic withdrawal. I was at with the kids with hockey.
Oh, right,
like
yeah,
that.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, my kids should play something to do with comics.
Yeah, that would be
hockey.
Good. That would be,
those would be great road
yes,
trips.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? You know, in the future, it might not make you the millions that hockey players do. So
that is not true, Chris. The best, I'm telling you right now, the best comic book purchase I ever made
yeah.
was while I was away with my younger kid on a hockey tournament. We were driving by.
In Fort Erie. Or in Erie, Pennsylvania.
No. Niagara.
Oh, okay.
I was, driving to the arena.
Yep.
I said, hey, there's a comic shop we drove right by. And the next day I popped in and, you know, old timer there, and we agreed on a price. And anyway, push comes to shove. I sent it down to get graded because it was really nice. And it came back way better than anybody should have.
Nice.
And it was a big score.
Nice.
But that was you know.
Do you remember what the book was?
It was X-Men number 94.
Oh, X-Men 94.
Yeah.
That's the restart of the whole launch of
yeah.
X-Men. And, oh,
yeah.
very cool.
And yeah, that
nice.
Was all like hockey inspired.
Nice.
So
nice.
There is room for both.
There is room for both. Yeah,
on the
absolutely.
Weekend.
So you know what? It's better to keep the kids playing hockey because it takes you around all the different little cities and you can go into the little nooks and crannies of comic
yeah.
book stores. And
yeah,
you know.
Hold on. To digress a little bit.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
To digress a little bit. Like
yeah.
old-time comic guys.
Yeah.
Okay. It's funny because you can relate every single thing, because to any city in southern Ontario,
yeah,
if you named like, oh yeah, you know what, we're going up to Listowel to visit my aunt. Go, Listowel, man, back in like late 80s, I went looked at a comic collection and a guy
yeah, right.
out in a back shed and his comics smelled like goat pee, and it was like, you know, like every town,
yes,
you can relate to
every
something
relate
comic.
To a comic. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
That's all right. So what do we got? Oh, I guess we should get the show started.
Well, is that what we're here for?
We,
right?
Well,
yeah.
we should. Yeah,
right,
it is
okay.
about comic books.
It is.
It is.
Sorry.
Yes.
Not you and I catching up.
No. So you know, how was the rest of your weekend? You know,
oh.
yeah, that's good.
All right, Chris, let's move it along.
Okay. Well, new this week to you. Sorry, new
to
this
me.
Week. New this week is brought to you by Geekdom, serving comic book stores for the centuries to come.
For centuries to come, yes. Indeed. Thank God for Geekdom.
Yes. Well, and of course, you know, I mean, like, you know, all the different, the various things that, you know, geeks and nerds and comic book lovers love, right? You know, like Doctor Who and comic books and, yeah, all
Geekdom.
That fun stuff.
Geekdom.
Yeah. Geekdom.
All right.
Yes, all right.
Well, what'd you pick this week, though?
All right, well, first up, we've got, what do we got here? Minimum Carnage.
It is Minimum?
A, Minimum. Minimum Carnage. It is a Marvel one-shot brought to you by...
Maximum Carnage.
Bun, Yost, and Medina. And so basically, this is, it's kind of a neat little thing. It's got, basically what's going on here, there's three different Spider-Man people. There's Venom, there's Scarlet Spider, and Carnage. And it's a one-shot. It's all about the three guys, and it's sort of a cool little storyline. Because you know what? It's not very often you get a whole storyline about those three characters. So I thought it was
no,
really neat.
Especially with their popularity.
Yes. Well, especially with Venom and Carnage. Venom and Carnage, not so much Scarlet Spider, but Venom and Carnage are hugely popular still, even after all these years. And I would have thought that, you know, Cletus Cassidy as Carnage would have gone away a long time ago, but still around. People love him.
Listen, Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man in the number 300s.
Yes.
From 300 to 399.
Right.
Okay? The only ones you can sell, the only ones you can consistently sell have either Venom or Carnage on the cover.
Right. Right.
You know, there's something to those characters.
Or the ones that have Todd McFarlane in them.
Okay, even the Todd McFarlane run is relatively slow. There's a couple. Well, okay, there's 300 obviously with the Venom.
Right.
315 to 317 have Venom.
Right.
You might say 312, 313 with those Lizard Hobgoblin covers can sell, but everything else is
like
kind of
like Hydro Man.
It's like I don't know. Like they're not as they're not what they used to be.
Right.
Right. But man, you put Carnage and Venom on the cover. Gold,
cakes.
Jerry, gold.
Hotcakes.
All right, so listen. Minimum Carnage Alpha, one shot from Marvel at your local comic book shop today.
Today. All right, next up we've got G.I. Combat number 5 featuring the Haunted Tank.
Oh.
Now, for those of you readers out there who don't know what the Haunted Tank is, basically it is just exactly what it is.
It's a tank that's
it's
haunted.
A tank that's haunted by the spirits of like old army veterans kind of thing. Now, flipping through this book, I thought it was kind of strange, and I'm not entirely too sure where it is, but it kind of looks – it starts off – it looks like it's in the Batcave because it's got like a giant penny and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not, but it looks like that. But the thing that I thought was hilarious about this is the Haunted Tank all of a sudden comes alive on its own.
Oh.
Because it's haunted.
Right.
And it starts barreling down these highways and I don't know. It just reminded me of one of those bad video games where you got to drive a tank all over the place.
Right,
and
yeah.
Like people are crashing into it and it just seemed like a really fun yet kind of
Or one of those most dangerous chases.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the worst TV show on TV. Like the worst possible show, those police chase things.
Shows. You're
flicking around, you know, the commercial on the game or something like that, and you're flicking around, and you flick onto that stupid thing, you can't turn away.
It's a train
wreck.
You have
to watch the stupid thing.
And this is kind of like, it kind of combines both of those, because it's got this tank that's barreling down a highway, and then, of course, the guy that embodies
barreling down the General
Custer, or whoever it is there, he's got the sword in his hand, and it seems like he's sort of commanding the troops, but in the tank, and it's a very strange, but it was a very fun read from what I did read of it. And the best thing about it, it's actually got a backup story of the unknown soldier in the back.
Right on. Hey, listen, I believe G.I. Combat number 87.
Yeah.
Could be 86. I'm going to go out on the limb.
I'd say 87.
I'd say 87.
Okay.
That is the very first appearance of the Haunted Tank.
Now,
massively, massively collectible book
and
highly valuable.
I bet. Now the collectors are those of not – because that's not even a Silver Age. Is that Golden Age still?
No, Silver Age.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Silver Age. So early 60s, maybe?
Now, is that collectible because it's is that collectible because it's the first appearance or because it's a G.I. Combat or
no,
both?
No, first appearance of the Haunted Tank.
Okay.
The funny thing is in war comics,
right.
Comics to do with war, thus called war comics.
Whoa, slow down a bit for me. I'm not quite getting it here.
I'm doing the best I can.
Okay.
Marvel, you know, they had Atlas during the 50s.
Right.
Atlas, and they had
Timely
their war
comics.
Yeah. Charlton had a lot of war
titles. A lot
of comics had war titles. And it seems, for some reason, that DC rules, like absolutely
really
rules,
yeah.
80-90% of the back issue market on war comics. The value is in the DC titles.
Yeah.
The value is in, you know, Army at War, Our Fighting Forces, GI Combat, Star Spangled War Stories, All
Sergeant
American
Rock.
Men of War, because of characters like Sergeant Rock, because of things like Haunted Tank, Enemy Ace, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know how DC did it, but they were able to. I don't know. They were able to develop characters
and concepts. Years ago, it seemed like, you know, Sergeant Fury in his Howling Commandos never had the popularity that Sergeant Rock did.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely not.
And Sergeant Fury, I guess maybe that's why they made him into like that spy, kind of more of a spy, Jim Stranko, James Bond.
Nick Fury?
Yeah, Nick Fury.
Remember Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
sure.
Yeah. You know.
Remember him well.
Yeah. nice.
Yeah. Anyway, so... we have G.I. Combat number 5 featuring Haunted Tank at your local comic book shop today.
All right.
Check that one out. It looks cool.
All right. Last up for our regular features before we go to the kids' pick of the week, we have The Crow number 4 by IDW. Now, you know, Walt, I got to say, now, normally...
Say it, Chris. Say it.
You know, normally you and I are very, very good about giving positive... positive reviews to comics.
Reviews.
I got to say that this Crow...
Looks like crap.
It looks like crap. You know what? It's the original Crow was done by James O'Barr, and of course had the movie with you know the
Johnny Depp,
Jason Lee, Bruce Lee's son. Yeah. And this one, I gotta say, it doesn't look all that exciting. It doesn't have the storytelling. It doesn't have the art. It doesn't have much of anything. And
it's got that '90s a coif.
It looks like some flock of seagulls hair. Kind
yeah,
of thing, and
got
you know,
that. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, no, it's not cool at all.
'80s
mullet
yeah,
kind of thing going on.
Mullet thing that looks cool.
Yeah, no, not at all.
So what you're saying though is it's crow dung.
It really is. I gotta say it's kind of crappy looking. You know, the art looks like it's kind of half done. And
yeah, you're right. Look at that sequence there, Chris.
It just doesn't look
good.
Show
our listenership. Yeah, that's terrible. That's bad. Well, listen, I mean...
So why did I pick it? Well, I guess, you know...
Why did you pick it?
Every single time we have these books and we review them, we always give positive results.
That's because they pay us yet.
Well, the IDW didn't.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right?
They missed their
payment. They missed their payment.
That's right.
Bounced.
Well, that'll show them.
That's right.
Listen, for you, those of you, and I'm sure there are many, that don't believe a word Chris says, check out The Crow number 4. At your local comic book shop.
All right. And lastly, for the kids' pick of the week, I decided to go with Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Because it is Halloween month. You know,
sure.
I figured to go with Scooby-Doo. It's a very scary type thing. And you know what? It does have Scooby-Doo himself being painted as if he's the Mona Lisa on the cover. Okay, Reggie. Yeah. So, as, you know, as usual, it's always a fun read.
Wow. Scooby-Doo. Yeah, check that out. Yeah, Scooby-Doo, this is probably his... I'm going to guess. Fifth or sixth run at a title?
Probably, yeah.
But he's, you know, he's continually – it'd be interesting to find out, and I'm sure he's been in print at least 80% of the calendar
time
since
his
inception,
right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because there always seems to be
– Well, there was the Whitman.
You know, Gold Key first, and then Charlton, and then I think it went to DC, and then DC and a couple of reincarnations and stuff like that. Good job, Scoobs. Scoob and Shag and the gang can be found in issue 26, Scooby-Doo, and you can find that at your local comic book shop.
All right. Well, Walt, this week you asked me what kind of music I'm going to be playing all week, or all show, I should say, and we're going to go with TV themes to this today. Are you okay with that?
My favorite.
All right. And your favorite and mine, Challenge of the Super Friends.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom, dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends.
Thank you.
Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
Indeed it is, Chris.
Welcome to the Challenge of the Super Friends.
Chris, listen, it brings us to... What's it bring us to?
Comic Culture Mailbag.
Yeah, and Comic Culture Mailbag.
Comic Culture?
Yeah, this week is brought to you by Night of the Living Dead Live.
Oh, all right.
It's everything you know and love about the Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
But it's live.
But so then they're not dead?
No, it's live.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Shouldn't it be called Night of the Living Live?
No, it's Night of the Living Dead Live. It's really, really hard to explain. Oh. Actually, we're going to get next week the executive producer of Night of the Living Dead Live on the show, and he'll explain everything.
Perfect. All right.
All right.
I'm a little slow sometimes.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, speaking of mailbag,
slow.
I've got a question for you, speaking of slow. all right. So this question is from Jeff from Surrey, BC.
Jeff
asks, Dear Walt, I'm thinking about opening up a comic book store myself, but I don't know whether or not to use my own personal collection or not. How do I differentiate the two?
Right. Okay. So, Jeff, first off, thank you for the email. And secondly, listen, if you are basing your decision on opening your comic book store on your personal comic collection, then you should stop right there.
Oh. Yeah. Why is that?
Because opening a store on a personal comic collection is like so 30 years ago. Like, you can't open a store on a vintage comic book collection.
Oh, I see.
Your
okay.
new comic book shops, in order to have a chance of success, and Surrey's a nice town, and you know, but you, you know, you have to service the pop culture scene that's going on right now.
Okay.
You have to be in and hip with all the new, current, fun, trendy stuff that involves comic books.
Right.
So it's the culture of comics you have to immerse yourself into. What's this kid's name?
Jeff.
Jeff, right.
I don't think he's a kid. I think he wants to open up his own store.
Right. Okay. So what he has to do is do some homework.
Okay.
And find out, you know, what he should be stocking.
Right.
And it should not be your local... Your local?
Your own.
Your own. What's you got again?
Personal collection.
Right. You shouldn't be stocking your own personal collection.
I love how focused you are on the question and writer.
You know what? It was a tough question, and I don't want to let the kid down hard. I want to let him down easy.
All right. But,
don't
too hard on the boy.
Yeah. So, So that, my friend, that whole scene dynamic, that whole paradigm... I'm looking for words that don't mean what I'm trying to say, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job.
You're doing an excellent job. Yeah.
That whole thing has changed.
Right.
So there's go back to the drawing board,
there's
son.
There's a paradigm shift in the way comic book stores are being opened and run.
Can you explain that to me after the show?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. All right. So I hope that helps, Jim.
Or Jeff, whatever.
Jeff, sorry. I hope it helps.
Jim.
And listen, so that's all I got.
Oh, boy.
Woo! That was... Glad I can help.
That was really tough to get through. Well, now hold on a second here, Walt. Now you've had a store for a long time now. Now
I opened it with my personal collection, by the way.
But you started with a partner.
Yeah.
And you guys kind of owned the collection together or something, didn't you? Or it was something like that.
Yeah, but those days are done, I think.
But don't you think that somebody, if they really wanted to start their own comic book store, they could actually still start it up with their old comics? Or is that,
listen, I guess you need an area at the back of the store that has old comics, or a little area where you have some old collectible comics.
Right.
But Jim will soon discover.
Or Jeff.
Jeff will soon discover that that is not an a small part of his business will come from the old comics.
Okay, you know what? I don't want to hurt you anymore on this. So.
Oh, man, it's killing me. old comics, generally speaking, what you want is people to come in regularly every week.
For new comics.
Pick up their new comics. What you want is people to come in regularly every month to maybe peruse your graphic novels.
Right.
Maybe try, hey, Jim, what should I be reading this week?
So I guess what
you know, hey, why don't you try Long Halloween there, Bob? Right? And, you know what I mean? And so, that's the way he should be building his business. Hey, I don't know. Check out the new Marvel Legends. Like, yeah, I don't know. Just get new. I really love that Batman toque you got on that wall. I want to pick that up.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Okay, I get it. Let's please stop the insanity.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that response. That was great. All right.
You need anything else
to
answer, Chris?
No. All right. Let's continue on with the show here. Are we going to cut to a musical interlude, or are we just going to go right into it?
Let's keep going. I'm hot now, Chris.
Yeah, boy, are you ever. All right. Stan Lee, your friend and mine.
Stan the man.
Just recently, before this weekend, he had announced that he was canceling all a bunch of shows coming up in the near future for appearances. Nobody knew why. There was speculation. Of course, now the speculation can be stopped because we have now found out that he is now recovering from pacemaker surgery.
Wow. Pacemaker.
So, pacemaker. Stan Lee himself, who was going to be turning 90 in December, had recently canceled the number of appearances because he had a pacemaker put into his heart. And thank goodness, because we want to keep the guy around for a little while longer.
Oh, Stan, you know what? First of all, we all thought it would be a little bit more serious. Like, he's frail and he's whatever, hospitalized. And this looks more like a procedure.
Right.
It was almost scheduled, I guess, which is good. And so this bodes well for, Stan the man making a complete comeback.
Yep.
And, it should, because according to, he had like a massively busy schedule in the fall anyway. And it's
right.
maybe it was a good sign to say, hey, buddy, slow down a bit.
Yes. Well, you know what? From the sheer volume of reading that I've been doing about pacemakers recently, apparently it's a relatively quick recovery time.
Right. Yes. Right. And Stan would know. Stan apparently invented the pacemaker.
Apparently he did. Yes, right. Absolutely.
According to Stan anyway. So anyway, we wish Stan the best recovery, quickest recovery.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Hopefully he can. And well, he did have a quote here.
Oh.
Characteristic Stan, of course. In an effort to be more like my fellow Avengers, Tony Stark, I have had an electronic pacemaker placed near my heart to ensure that I'll be able to lead thee for another 90 years. Now I must end this dispatch and join my troops, for an army without a leader is like a day without a cameo. Because he's always doing the cameos.
Yeah. I like the word "the."
Yeah, he did say "the."
Like
Thor. Lead thee. He's going to lead thee.
Lead thee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Very cool. I think his favorite. Who would you think, Chris? Who would you think his favorite invention or
invention
creation
is? Probably the pacemaker.
Pacemaker. Next to the pacemaker.
Next to the pacemaker.
All the heroes that he created or helped create.
That's a great question.
Who would you think would be Stan's favorite?
I would bet on Iron Man.
Iron Man?
Yeah. I don't think it's Spider-Man.
You don't think it's Spider-Man?
No, I think he probably gets a lot of flack for Spider-Man because of Steve Ditko's
Ditko.
Influence.
Ditko,
I get the feeling that it's probably more like Iron Man. What do you think? What do you think?
I don't know. I'm leaning toward Thor.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But see, I wouldn't say Thor, because Thor is like, all he did was take a Norse god and kind of make it his own, right?
Sure.
Alrighty then. Alrighty. Moving right along.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, I still think it's Thor.
Okay, fair right. enough. You can be wrong.
It's Robert Blake there.
Robert Blake.
Yeah. What's
Donald Blake?
Donald Blake, yeah.
Robert Blake Beretta.
He played Beretta. Yeah.
Can't do the crime.
I think we had to have said this before, but remember when the big pimp Rooster?
Oh yeah.
And he'd always meet him on the street.
That's right.
And he'd always have to slip Rooster like 20 or something like that,
something.
Because Rooster would know when the shipment's coming
That's
in
right.
and stuff like that. Yeah, the docks, 4 o'clock in the morning. So then he comes up and say, "Hey Rooster, what you got?" And Rooster would always go, "Hey babe, the rooster don't crow without no dough."
Yeah, do you remember what?
I love that line.
Do you remember what Beretta's parrot's name was?
No, Smith, Wesson?
I don't know. Smith and Wesson. Beretta and Smith and Wesson.
Smith and Wesson. I don't know.
I remember he had a name. I don't remember what it is, though.
No, remember Sam was the parrot.
Okay.
All right. And there was that really old guy.
Smith and Wesson?
Apartment. anyway, let's move it along. So where are we talking about Stan Lee?
I think we're done with Stan. Done with Stan.
So what are we doing now?
Fox does a movie deal with Mark Miller.
Oh, yeah, so I read about this.
So Mark Miller, of course, has been around comics for a long time now. 20th Century Fox has signed Mark Miller as a creative consultant on its movies.
On its movies.
Marvel movies, I should say. Marvel movies.
Love those movies, Chris. Yeah, I love. Want to come over with a little movie? You know what I mean?
Oh, stop.
Come on.
Oh, you fresh. Yeah. Right. Marvel movies.
Marvel movies.
So Fox currently has three Marvel movies in the waiting bins, as it were. Wolverine, of course, which is going to be coming out July 2013.
Yes, indeed.
X-Men Days of Future Past, due out July of 2014, which is the sequel to X-Men First Class.
Yes.
And then we got the new Fantastic Four movie, which has yet to be scheduled. So,
yes.
But Mark Miller will be the new creative consultant for the Marvel movies for Fox.
Hey,
just thought it's for horses.
First of all, Fox has these Marvel movies.
Yes.
And Disney has their Marvel movies.
Yes.
They're all Marvel movies.
Yes, they are.
But like do they talk to each other about scheduling?
I don't think so.
Because it would be in Marvel's interest because it's still a Marvel property, right?
It's still a Marvel property, but they don't talk to each other about, you know, what they're doing and all that kind of stuff.
But you
right?
see, Marvel's in an awkward position to be competing, but also benefiting
mm-hmm.
from these movies.
That's right.
Right. So you would think that they wouldn't go head to head on a weekend or something like that. Is what I'm saying.
I would hope not.
No.
But you know what? I think there's probably some sort of unwritten rule between them, saying, you know, hey, we'll give you this weekend if you let us. We'll do the next two weekends after that, or two or three or four weekends after that. Right.
Right.
Just so they don't shoot themselves in the foot.
Right on. Okay. So what else has he got? I think they're doing a Kick-Ass 2.
Matthew Vaughn, who directed X-Men First Class, is actually one of Mark Miller's friends, and so I guess that's kind of how he got the gig. And so Matthew Vaughn's going to direct X-Men Days of Future Past, and of course he also directed Kick-Ass, which was Mark Miller and John Romita Jr.'s comic for
Marvel.
It was like the Icon.
Icon,
that's what it was, sorry. And Matthew Vaughn is also going to produce Kick-Ass 2.
Right, right. I wonder if what's the guy's name that played Ghost Rider?
Oh, Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, Nick Cage. I wonder if he's going to be in Kick-Ass 2 again as the dad.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. Why not? Yeah, he's a big comic fan.
All right. Listen, that's good. That's good news. I still think, you and I discussed this before, we won't spend time on it. I still think that Disney should make a deal with Marvel and to borrow the Surfer.
I agree.
So that they could make that Avengers versus Defenders crossover movie.
I absolutely agree. Well, we talked about this before, about how they were trying. Well, remember there was some bartering going on for the Silver Surfer and Galactus or something like that? Yeah, so. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. It'd be nice, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. So anyways, let's continue on, and we'll go to a musical interlude right now. Walt, here's an oldie but a goodie. Oldie but a goodie. I know you remember Linda Carter.
Oh.
And, of course, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
The only hope for freedom and democracy is...
Wonder Woman.
Chris. The unmistakable sounds of Burt Bacharach.
Stop a bullet cold. Yeah. Make the axis fold.
I love it. Hey, listen. Do you remember that Wonder Woman before Linda Carter with Kathy Lee Crosby?
Kathy Lee Crosby, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That? It was, I think it was a TV movie or something.
It was sort of like a pilot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. I remember watching it. I was impressed.
Really?
Because, you know, like when you're a kid, you know, and you see a girl really dressed pretty up in Wonder Woman outfit, Wonder, you get excited.
It doesn't really matter who it is.
Yeah, pretty
point,
well.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, to a point.
Mom?
Hello? That's just wrong. Where were we? Oh,
comic shops.
Yeah.
Comic shops.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do we have a sponsor for this?
Oh,
segment?
We do. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Hold on.
This
wait.
Segment is brought to you by werewolves.
Werewolves.
Yeah. Halloween wouldn't be the same without werewolves.
Howling at you from four corners of the earth.
Yeah. Listen, did you know I used to be a werewolf?
Really?
Yeah. I'm all right now.
Oh, that was terrible. That was just terrible.
Anyway.
Oh, ooh, boy.
Hello. Is this thing on?
Oh, man.
Hello. All
right. That was, that's all rough. Right. Oh, boy. All right. Listen.
Our engineer seems to find it.
He thinks everything's funny.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah.
All right. Well, so now you, of course, you and myself are good friends with the Silver Snail crowd.
Yes,
Mr. George Zotti opened up its new grand location at 329 Yonge Street. Now, of course, the reason why we're talking about this, Silver Snail is, of course, an icon of the comic book industry in the Southern Ontario area for the last 30 years.
Chris, what does this show support?
Comic culture.
The local comic book shop.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm glad you knew that one. And the Snail has been the epitome of the local comic book shop done good.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
It was a local comic book shop that turned into a national comic
turned
book
into
shop.
A franchise, yeah.
Just a mecca,
yeah.
An institution.
Yeah.
And, of course, our good friend Ron, the former
Ron
owner, he retired and sold the building that he owned on Queen West.
Yep.
And so
sold
George,
the business to George, yeah.
He now has a great business, but now he needs a new home. They did their research.
Yeah,
they decided on Yonge north of Dundas, a really, really busy part of town.
Yeah.
So they had their grand opening last week, covered on comicbookdaily.com. Lee Hart, she's actually there, the reporter.
Yes, yes.
And she took a whole bunch of great pictures. You can see it on Comic Book Daily. And then, you know what? The interesting part about that post by Lee was it was a very active post for comments.
Yes, it was. Yeah, yes.
People were kind of polarized.
It was all over the place.
Yeah, and people were polarized by the fact that it's on the second floor.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people didn't like that. And people also – well, I shouldn't say they didn't like it. They were, as you say, it was polarized. Another thing that they were polarized about was the signage. Because if you remember, the old Snail sign on Queen Street was very flashy. It had a very bright, very vibrant sort of, hey, kids, comics kind of thing. And the new signage isn't as flamboyant as the old one was.
Well, the thing, though, is it gets lost in the – I've never seen a louder hamburger chain sign than
– oh.
Five Guys Burgers,
yes.
right below,
yeah,
like just the largest font you can possibly find, right? And it just, and then you see the Snail above, and you almost get lost because your eyes are just drawn to that really strong text, on the floor below.
But I think having the Five Guys Burger franchise is going to be a positive thing for the Snail, right?
Because people can imagine all the greasy ass comics that are going to be left on the stage. You know, the guy's going down getting his chicken wings and his onion rings. You know,
yeah.
coming up.
Can I get my comics with a little less grease, please?
Yeah. I know. But, listen, people thought it, there is a kids, little kids lounge. And what I thought was cool is they have a coffee shop up there. Yeah. Like in the Snail,
now
there's a coffee
shop.
That's
interesting because you know what? There have, a lot of people have tried to have comic lounge type things with, you know, having coffee shops in the comic book store. And they've never seemed to work. Now, I'll be interested to see how if the Snail can pull it off. Because really, if anybody can, they can.
Right. And maybe, you know what? It was busy opening day, which is a really good sign. I don't know if you're ever in the old Snail. They had those, the only shop, they had those weird drawers.
Pull them out for the store.
Look at the back issues, and that way you can stack them three high.
Yeah.
Right?
It was
so
awesome.
They've kept them.
Well, you know, and funny thing, those drawers were made so that – you can actually stand on them. They're extremely expensive to make, mm-hmm. not because of the material for the actual like drawer itself,
yeah.
but like the brackets that hold the drawers up.
Right.
Apparently, they're extremely expensive because
top of the line.
Top of the line because he knew that people basically would be opening up drawers and using them as stairs, kind of
right
to
right.
step on and get to other things, and,
wow.
and you know, so very expensive stuff, but very beautiful.
All right, listen, we wish the Silver Snail the best of luck at 329 Yonge Street in the heart of Toronto.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, so next time you're down there, go in, check it out. And
We should make a trip down there.
Yeah, and leave us a comment on the show on what you thought of the snail.
All right, sounds good.
All right.
Next up, we have – now, Grant Morrison. You're a fan somewhat of Grant Morrison, aren't
Indeed.
You?
Indeed.
Yes. Now, Grant Morrison is a fantastic comic book writer, has really turned the world on its head with a lot of his different stories, especially in the DC Universe. Now, he's going
his
to be –
His X-Men run wasn't that bad either.
Absolutely. X-Men run was awesome. Now, he's going to be doing something again new with DC, and he's going to be redefining DC Comics with his Multiversity.
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 When I usually say multiversity, it's usually me asking you to explain what multiversity is.
So, multiversity. So, for those in the know, now, do you remember years ago, they had Crisis on Infinite Earths, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had this was like something they decided because years and years ago, they had the regular Earth. You had the regular Earth that had all the regular kind of comic book characters on it.
Yes, it did.
And then it had Earth 2.
Yes.
And Earth 2 was a way of incorporating the Golden Age heroes from the DC world into the DC current continuity. So you could publish DC comics that had both the old Golden Age Justice Society of America as well as the Justice League of America, right?
Chris, I love it when you talk old comics.
I know,
like that.
I know.
Oh, it's so exciting.
So you had Earth 1 and Earth 2, and then you heard Earth Prime, all these different Earths.
I love it.
They got rid of it all. They got rid of it all 25 years ago.
Yeah. Now, do you remember the first Silver Age issue that opened up that whole can of worms? What it was and what the first character to breach the Earths was?
Let me guess. I'm going to say it's Justice League of America.
No, that's a team. It was a character. Okay, yeah.
Okay,
that's
the
title.
That was the title. Yeah. And Golden Age Green Lantern.
No.
Oh.
No and no.
Oh.
Right.
What was it?
In Flash.
Okay.
It was Flash number 123, and it had a cover where two Flashes were coming to save.
I love it when you talk like this. It's so exciting.
And it was Flash. And Flash came over across first. And you're looking at me. I'm feeling awfully uncomfortable.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Were you going somewhere with this?
Yeah. No. That was it. That was it. It all started, and I think it was – that might have been around 61 or so.
Right.
And it was Flash, the Golden Age Flash coming over into the Silver Age, and then they had to explain that. And then they made the Earth 2.
Right.
And then it went to the Justice League where they brought the whole team over in issue 21 and 22 where both teams fought some sort of, then it just went nuts from there.
Absolutely. Well, so anyways, so 25 years ago, they ended all this with the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Uh-huh.
Now it's coming back. Mm. And this is going to be in Grant Morrison's Multiversity. Now, of course, I know you're not a big fan of, like, say, characters like the Blue Beetle, right? Ted Kord, Blue Beetle. Hello, is this thing on? Hello, anyone?
Ted Kord. Who's he?
He's the Blue Beetle.
He's the Blue Beetle. Yeah, okay, I know him.
Okay,
yeah.
So for example, now if Grant Morrison will be bringing new issues back in his new series called Pax Americana, and this is where you're going to be having new characters or old characters like the Blue Beetle, Ted Kord's Blue Beetle, the Question, the Captain Atom, and you know all those old kind of Charlton type characters
that DC took over.
That have kind of been laid by the wayside.
Right.
You
know. That were kind of used for
Watchmen
kind of templates.
Exactly.
Owl.
Yes.
Owl.
And Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, well, yeah, all right, that's cool. So what do you think of this? Do you think they should be doing this?
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah, I say why not.
Because it was a big fiasco, and it screwed up the continuity before, and then they had to refix the continuity
No, there's no continuity right now. Remember with the New 52 now, everything's new, and it's all fine, and everything's brand new again, right? So why not bring in new Earths and just make it all kind of like the same as it ever was?
Same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Same, okay, so what you're saying is you can introduce these new Earths and right. keep the continuity of this Earth.
Because, absolutely, because there's no there's a new Earth now and there's newer Earths, right?
Right.
So now you can basically have whatever you want.
All right. All right. Well, listen, I'll have to take your word for it. So this is about a year from now, right? Late 2013?
This is, late 2013 is announced at the – now, here's the thing. It was actually announced at the Morrison Con. So,
I love that.
Yes, yes.
Right then.
Right then.
All right, Chris, let's move on from the Morrison Con and into what are we going to talk about? Oh,
you Halloween got any, Comic Fest.
Yeah, you got a – Oh, the Halloween Comic
Isn't
Fest.
Isn't that what we're talking about?
Well, I thought you were going to do your...
let's talk about that first then. Sorry,
right,
okay. So my good friend, Mr. Glenn Kay, who's been on the show a couple times now, he wrote a book called The Zombie Movies, The Ultimate Guide. Now, he has now come up with a second book. It's sort of a follow-up book, a second edition, as it were. And now this one, he has an additional 100 movie reviews and interviews and a foreword by Juan of the Dead director Alejandro Bruges.
Alejandro.
And Fangoria, we were talking about Fangoria earlier tonight, Fangoria called it a near-perfect reference guide.
Love it.
So
this is your
this is my friend Glenn Kay.
Glenn Kay.
And we can next time. You know what? Next time he's around, if he's around on a Wednesday, he lives in California now. But if he's around on a Wednesday,
he can fly up for the
show. He can fly up. Absolutely. We'll get him to come.
You'll put
come
him
on
up,
the show.
Won't you?
Sure.
Okay. There.
Yeah.
Good.
Or his parents could, who still live here. But whatever.
Yeah,
I could too. Yeah.
No. Awesome. So I would imagine since he did his last book.
Yes.
This is the thing with zombies, right? Since he did his last book, there has probably been more zombie movies in the last 5 years than there were in the preceding 50.
Probably, yes.
You know, so he's got his work cut out for
absolutely.
Him updating this dumb thing, right?
Well, and the thing is, remember, I mean, he was on the show, well, we've only been doing the show for four years. We're in our fifth year now. So since then, over 100 movies have been made that he had to see.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
About zombies.
Right.
So,
right.
And there may have only been 150 in the, as you said, the 50 years before that.
Hey, listen, we're going to have to get him to review that Night of the Living Dead live.
Absolutely.
Show when it comes out.
And I'm
next
sure
week.
He will be all about that. Because
what?
It is, I mean, even though it's about zombie movies, I'm sure it's all about zombie stuff as well, right?
Zombie stuff. Yeah, I hate when you get zombie stuff.
Yeah,
on.
I know. You got to really watch that well.
All right, Chris, let's keep going about Halloween and zombies and stuff and talk about this Comic Fest. Halloween Comic Fest promotion.
Yes. So go ahead.
No. So Diamond, the big distributor for comic shops, is trying to get interest to Halloween. And then they're doing any comic shop that has a Halloween event going on, they're trying to add it to this HalloweenComicFest.com site.
Right.
And they're trying to drum up viewership for the site through their other channels, through Diamond, through their email blasts and all that kind of stuff. And they're hoping that comic shops will hold comics Halloween fest
type stuff,
right?
Yeah.
And they're having prizes for best costumes and stuff like that, and they're having people vote for their favorite store, and
now,
so they're just trying to generate interest around. I think it's around this free comic book day. Halloween, which is a plan that Diamond has too, right?
Right.
They're trying to add a second.
They
want to
have a
second
free comic book day. Which, and really, if you're going to have a second one, you might as well have it. I mean, the first one's in May. Might as well have the second one be in October because it'll be roughly 6 months.
Exactly, almost to the month.
And the best part about it is, why not have a Halloween comic fest with all kinds of costume characters dressed up as comic book characters, right? Like all kinds of people dressed up as comic characters. And have it be a Halloween theme, and it'll be
great. It's funny you say that because when you go, what comic shops haven't been able to do well is encourage cosplay at comic store events.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You know, all the local cons and mini cons and everything like that, people seem to want to go up there and do cosplay, right?
Yes.
And yet, around Free Comic Book Day, around your annual sale if stores have one, around your Boxing Week sale if stores have one, or whatever these little events, store signings, stores have, they really can't incorporate cosplay as much.
Right.
Right. And this would be a great way for really good progressive shops.
Oh, yeah.
Once a year.
Yeah.
Once a year. year to promote cosplay in the store.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, the first year you might have, you know, 5-6 people come in costume, and then hopefully by the second or third.
But you know what? Like, you know, you may have 5 or 6 the first year, but you may have 30 the second year.
You may have 100
because
50 the third.
It explodes. Yeah. Like, you know, as soon as these people find out about it, they will go all over the place.
Right. And what a great way for your local comic book shop to promote itself, too, because if you hit a critical mass of these weirdos walking down the street in costume, you're going to get press. You're going to get publicity.
Yeah. And,
right?
And the thing is, you know, I don't know about you. Like, I don't personally dress up. When I go to
– not what I heard, Chris.
Well, not at comic conventions.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. So, but, I love seeing all the people that get dressed up. I think it's fantastic. I think it's a lot of fun. I wouldn't do it myself. You know, it's I wouldn't look really all that good in a Flash costume. You know?
You look good as Conan, though.
I think Conan.
Ah.
Crush your enemies.
Right. I know what you're saying.
You know, but I love seeing people dressed up. I think it's a lot of fun. So why not have people dress up in comic book characters, costumes at Halloween? Why not?
Yeah. And now the free comic book day thing. Well, we don't want to stay on this too long. The free comic book day thing. Do you honestly think the industry can use a second free comic book day?
Absolutely. You know what? The first one is all. It took 10 years to get the first one as popular as it is now.
Fair enough.
Why not start a second one to help promote comic books even more? I mean, we didn't have Big Bang Theory. We didn't have Marvel movies like The Avengers coming out before.
No.
So why not keep the push going? Keep the momentum going. Keep on having.
Keep it. Come and love. Keep it. Listen,
sure.
You know what we need to do?
This have is a musical interlude?
No.
Oh.
Right after I have my little 2 cents here is,
right.
You know what? I lost my train of thought now. Why don't you have that damn musical interlude? Jesus. What are we going to listen to now, Chris?
Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. How about? Is that all right? Are you okay with that one? All right. Let me just get that one going here.
Amazing Friends, Iceman and Firestar. Amazing Friends.
Yes. Because you know what those type of things, you never know when they're going to end.
No, you really
like sometimes
don't.
Sometimes you think it's going to end there and you start talking and then
it keeps going.
Talking. Yeah.
Well, you know, that was the other thing about the Wonder Woman theme. Man, that was really long.
I loved it.
I mean, I ended it early and it was still like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think in TV today, I don't think you could have a theme song that was a minute and a half long.
First of all, you can never have one that good.
No, well, yeah, yeah. That goes without saying.
Oh. Oh. What's your favorite theme song from a superhero?
From superheroes?
Yeah.
I Challenge of the Super Friends.
Really?
The one I played earlier, yeah. Although Wonder Woman is good, it's probably my number two, but yeah. Challenge of the Super Friends, it's the one that, you know, I hate to admit this on air, but it actually gives me goosebumps when I listen to it.
That, my friend, is scary.
I know, isn't it? I know.
I think I've always liked the Spider-Man one.
Yeah, that's very classic.
Always
you know what?
The
they well, you were at my wedding. Yeah, you know, we had the jazz band playing that.
Yes,
that,
yes, I remember that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I
remember.
Very,
very classy.
Yes,
right there.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked it though.
No, thank
really,
you,
really
thank
really
you.
It.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Chris, let's keep talking about just going to remind everybody that next week we're going to have the executive producer.
Yes.
Of Night. This is a big thing for us.
Well, okay, yeah.
Night of the Living Dead Live.
We don't have a lot of guests on the show, and
right.
This is great because we
and
actually have
this caliber, really.
No, you're right. Although we did have those border hounds or brood hounds. Remember those?
The brood hounds. Yeah,
whatever. We had those guys on the air once.
Yeah.
Remember we called in? It was
Bushwhackers.
Yeah, sure. Whatever they were. They were pretty high caliber.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing compares to the people we're bringing in next week.
No. We've never had executives on the show before.
Exactly. Yeah.
I know.
Those guys were schmucks trying to make a go of it.
Yeah. This guy's a schmuck.
This guy's an executive schmuck.
That's right. He's already made a go of it.
Right. Yeah. And so anyway, he's going to come in and talk about this Night of the Living Dead live.
Which – Now, okay.
It's a live play.
It's a live play. Now, from what I know about – I don't want to give away too much here. However, I will say this is a live version of the movie that came out, what, like 1968 or something like that?
No.
Or 64? I think it was 68. I'm not too sure.
68, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So – and that was, of course, by George Romero.
Did
and
you know they made that movie for $114,000? And worldwide, it's grossed over $250 million.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised. No. You know, that was is
so this guy must have some coin.
Groundbreaking. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Sure, the guy we got coming in, he better be bringing
some cognacs
for us or something.
Never
anyway,
mind the,
for all the publicity we're giving
him. 5-star brandy that you ply me.
You're lucky if you get 5-star.
All right. Okay. Go.
You get moonshine. Mm-hmm. So what was I saying? Oh, so Night of the Living Dead. That was done by George Romero and written by John Russo. So that was directed by George Romero. So those two guys, from the blurb that I was reading earlier today, have given their blessing and are sort of helping on with this Night of the Living Dead live.
Guys, I give you my blessing.
I don't think he's – would he be considered the godfather of zombies?
Is that who I was doing?
Yeah, sure.
The
why
godfather?
Not?
Yeah, he might be. He
godfather
might be.
Of
the
zombies.
Granddaddy.
Granddaddy.
Pimp Daddy.
Pimp Daddy of Zombies.
Pimp Daddy of Zombies.
I like
zombies.
That.
All right. Daddy Mac of the Zombies.
And John Russo is the guy that has written all the, Dawn of the Dead, Land of the Dead, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
He seems to be like the writer for...
The dead guy.
Dead guy, yeah.
The dead guy. All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, listen, let's move it to one of our favorite segments. Yes.
Previews.
So Chris and I like to, once a month, every now and then we'll forget a month. But we look at the previews catalog, which at your local comic book shop, if you head into your local comic book shop, you should be able to peruse a previews catalog. The October one is out right now, and that's for stuff shipping in December. So
right.
This is a great place to get Christmas gifts
yes.
and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely.
So Chris and I like to go through the book and pick winners, pick stuff that we think is cool, stuff that we think you should be running into your local comic book shop and ordering.
Yes.
If not... A pair, a dozen at least.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. One for yourself and one to give away at Christmas time.
Right, one for your mom.
Absolutely.
Okay,
all right,
so what do you got?
Okay, what do I got? Well, on page 433, I've got halfling slippers. Now, in case you're not too sure what a halfling is, did you ever see Lord of the Rings?
Parts of it.
Okay, well, you know the little dudes, right? Little hobbit type
elves?
People? No, not elves.
Hobbits?
Halflings. They're like hobbits.
Like, what's his name? I know
they're
the
hobbits. Yeah, the what's hobbits, the little guys.
Yeah. Yeah,
hobbits. Okay, so
what's the one's name?
Frodo.
Frodo. Or yeah, like them.
Bilbo. Yeah.
Yeah, Frodo and Bilbo.
Yeah, so they're considered like halflings. They call them halflings.
Okay.
Okay, so they're known for not wearing shoes or anything like that. They have really big old hairy feet.
Right.
So if you want now, you can buy yourself halfling slippers. And here's the write-up. Perhaps you wish you could live in a hole in the ground. Perhaps you smoked pipe weed, or maybe you eat a second breakfast at 11z's before lunch. Or perhaps you long for a simpler life, a smaller life. Perhaps you wish you were a halfling. Sadly, there's not much call for halflings in the modern world, but in your own sphere, you can channel your own inner halfling with the halfling slippers. And these are slippers that look like giant feet, and they've got toenails on them, and they've got little hairy toes and hairy feet on them.
Yeah, you know what? Like, what I find exciting and disgusting at the same time, some of the guys I've played basketball with, you probably couldn't tell.
If they had the slippers on or not?
They had the slippers on or not, yeah, which is the scary part. But then again, those guys will save some money, so that's good. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That makes a perfect gift for your aunt.
Your aunt or your grandmother.
Your grandmother.
Yeah.
And
Granny, put those feet away.
You look great in those. They're so becoming. All right. Listen, Chris, I'm going to go to page 440 of your previews catalog for October.
All right.
And check out on the bottom left corner the Marvel Heroes Masks 4-piece Pilsner set.
Yeah, see, that's much cooler than the halfling slippers that I was talking about.
Now, I like the Pilsner set. Now, you see, I'm one of those guys. I like my beer.
Why don't you just keep okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I prefer the beer in a Pilsner glass versus the pint glass.
Really?
I don't know why.
Do you think it actually changes the taste?
I like it. It changes the perception for me. Okay. You know, like I think the head does something a little different in a Pilsner glass.
Right.
Than the head does on a pint glass.
Pint glass. Yeah. Interesting.
You can look at the head and study the head a little longer. There's more foam on the head.
I know how much you like your head on your beer.
Yes. So No, Chris, it's all about the head.
It is. It really
on the beer.
Is. Yeah.
And
now, interestingly enough, these glasses, they're the masks of the superheroes. Looks like Wolverine, Iron Man, Captain America, and Spider-Man. But the interesting part about it is it's just for like for the Iron Man and Spider-Man, it doesn't really make a difference, but for the Cap and Wolverine, there's no face, like there's no human part of it, right? So it looks kind of weird. It looks a little iconish.
Yeah, it's simple and it's just, they're beautiful. I mean, I can imagine just, you know, listen, pour me another one. They're so good coming out of this pint. So right. I recommend that. I recommend that for any, I'm sure everybody knows at least one alcoholic on their gift list. And it's a perfect gift for him.
At least one. All right. It looks like we've run out of time here. And hold
already?
On. Already? Yeah, hold on. Wait. Here's the, I got it right here. That's all the time we have for today.
All right, Chris. Hey, listen, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by our young buck, Andrew Roebuck.
Andrew Roebuck.
Yes. For comments and suggestions, the kid, please visit comicbookdaily.com, click the podcast link, scroll down to the comments field, and add your comments. Listen to us also at getthepointradio.com and obviously comicbookdaily.com.
And, of course, remember, comics aren't just for kids anymore. They're for young adults and all ages alike.
Yes, indeed, Chris. Thank you. And please go out and support your local comic book store.
And have yourself a great day.